If you have partners who want to build a mechitza, we don't know what the word mechitza means. We're going to see later on. 2 days in the Gemara, which if you don't know by now, maybe don't even bother doing chazara. No, kidding. We discussed it hundreds of times. Right? Mechitza can either mean a wall or a division. Right? A guda or a... or a plugta. They build the chosel in the middle. So Rashi explains, Hashutvin, Sheishan Chotzer B'Shutvos, they are partners in a Chotzer, and their houses are both open to it. In Shas, whenever we're talking about a Chotzer is a front yard. It's the area in front of the houses. That's what they are rov tashmish, and that's what they commonly use. Now we understand much better why that is significant, because once we know that all this is going to be a question of hezek re'iyah and seeing into others, so rov tashmishon, that they actually use it a lot, is very, very important. Because when somebody else is looking in, that is potentially going to be moneya, that is potentially going to hold back and not allow me to be able to use it. We saw that the Rashba said... right, why did the Mishnah specify a chatzer and not just say Hashutvin Shiratsu Lasos Mechitza? So he writes that there's a unique chiddush regarding chatzer. Right, according to those who think that Hezek Re'iyah is a normative form of Hezek, one may have assumed that was specifically in a house. But not in a chatzer. Which by its very nature is... sorry, one second. There's a unique chiddush, right? According to the... right, according to when it says that Hezek Re'iyah is a normative form of Hezek, one may have assumed, right, that was specifically in a house, but not in a chatzar. Why? Because the level of intrusion is much greater in a house. That's what we saw later on, right? When we're going to see on Amud Beis is all of the exceptions, that even the Man D'Amar who holds Hezek Re'iyah Lav Shmei Hezek is going to agree that in certain cases Hezek Re'iyah is Shmei Hezek. Why? Because of a variety of factors, but one of those factors is because I'm an expectation of privacy is even greater in one's home. So therefore, I might have learned that if the Mishnah is implying anything about Hezek Re'iyah, but doesn't tell us that it's in a chatzer, that it would only be true by a bias. Kamash malam, that it's true even in a chatzer. According to the other man d'amar, who says, lav shmei hezek, right, it needed to say chatzer, so that I would not conclude that even in a bias, it's not called hezek, right? I might have taken it to the extreme, that if hezek re is lav shmei hezek, maybe it's not even shmei hezek in a bias. So therefore, the Mishnah tells us specifically that we are talking about a chaser. What's the halach about a bias? We'll have that as a separate topic. But we wanted to limit the discussion of the mitzvah, the Mishnah, specifically to a chaser, which again is a, for our purposes, kind of in between.
Are you trying to say that there would be, according to law, a hezek re'iyah, a chaser maybe in house? That
what do you mean?
According to Shita, it's not Hezek Re'iyah. He's trying to specify in a courtyard, but in a house, it still would be Hezek Re'iyah?
It might be. Okay. I mean, that's not what we're talking about. We're going to see in the Gemara later on that it is. But we don't necessarily know that from our Gemara. From our Mishnah. Right? But by saying Chatzer, we limit the discussion. That's basically what he is saying. Why does the Mishnah say, Bonen es hakosel ba'emtza? Right? Isn't it obvious that it's going to be in the middle? So the Yad Ramah said, right, even if they aren't equal partners in the chatzer, they still put the division in the middle. So if it's a 70-30 partnership, so now when they divide, it's going to be divided as such. So you don't put the mechitza 7/10, you know, 70% or whatever the calculation would be on one side and 30% on the 30% on the other side. It still goes ba'emtza. Why? Because the wall that's going up has nothing to do with the value of the chatzer. It's about making sure people aren't looking in to the other one, from one to the other. It's about not looking in from one to the other. So then the damage or the potential damage is equal whether or not You have a bigger chatzer or you have a smaller chatzer. The Rashash said that our Mishnah sounds like it is specifically addressing a situation in which the portions are even. It's a 50-50 split. And a person only needs to give according to the value of what he has in the chatzer. And Einachanami, if he has a smaller portion, then he would have to give less to the split. What's that machlokas about? So that machlokas might have something to do with the nature of the damage of Hezekiah and what the purpose of the wall is, but we'll see more on that concept. The Rashash. Again, he's not coming to argue with the Yad Ramah. I mean, he's just saying that it just sounds from the pshat of the Mishnah that the Mishnah is talking specifically about when things are equal, when things are 50-50. Oh. Mishnah continues and it says, Makom shenago livnos gevil gazis kvisin levenin bonin. Right, there are different types of materials. Those are going to be defined later on in the Gemara, what exactly they are. Right, we saw later on in the Gemara that there really only are two different types. Right, really it's a question of bricks or stones. And the issue of the extra tefach is just a question, again, when it comes to the rocks, whether they are hewn or smooth, whatever the word is, the edges are cut off, so they don't protrude at all. And when it comes to the bricks, it's a question of leaving room for the cement. But there are two categories of walls. And the Mishnah says, Barakol ki minag ha-medina. Everything is done according to the minag ha-medina. Gvil, if it's talking about gvil, zeno sen gim ha-tvachem, zeno sen gim ha-tvachem, then each one gives three. Because it's zeno sen tvachem, zeno sen tvachem, each one gives 2.5. Bekfisin, zeno sen tvachem, zeno sen tvachem, each one gives 2. Bilavain is zeno sen tvachem, zeno sen tvachem, each one gives 1.5. Lefichach, therefore, im nafal ha-koysel ha-mokam ba-vonim shoshneyim. If the wall falls down, it belongs to both. Oh. The obvious question, right? If it says in the Mishnah that everything is going to be nakol kemina gamadina, then why does it have to specify certain materials? So Rabbeinu Yonah says that we're dealing with a new city. In a new city where there is not yet a set minhag, so you can't rely, right? If it only said akol kemina gamadina, and then you come upon a place where there is no minhag gamadina, so what are you going to do? Oh, so the Mishnah gives you options of thinking of what you're going to do when there is no minhag gamadina. If there's not yet a set minhag, you are not allowed to use a material that is inferior to the least strong one listed in the Mishnah. That is what Rabbeinu Yonah says. I think we quoted from the Ktos, right, that the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch both leave out all of the details of each material, which is surprising, right? They're writing the halacha work. If there's no specific minhag, right, it can be built according to whatever seems to be strong enough at the time. And really, the Mishnah was just giving us, I guess, whatever was the strongest at that time. But there's no, you know, gzeiras hakasav. There's no takanas chachamim that it has to specifically be these materials. That's how they understood. Good. Says Rabbeinu Yonah. If the minhag is not to build a wall, it's an anti-minhag. Right? The minhag is that we don't build walls in the chatzer. So Rabbeinu Yonah says, if the minhag specifically is not to build a wall, and no one is makpid, then you cannot force anyone to build a wall, irrespective of what the Mishnah says over here. The Rush says that you can always obligate in a chatzer. You can always obligate in a chatzer. Again, the Takanas Chachamim will basically overrule the minhag ha-medina not to build. Again, so the Mishnah lists off each type of materials and the shiurim. So Tosfos the Rasul Bigvil. So Tosfos says, Bigvil zeno sein gimel tvachem. V'hadu lo kamar Bigvil vav tvachem. Why doesn't it just say that you use 6 tvachem when if it's going to Bigvil? And then we'll figure out that you put it in the middle. It's not so hard. Why do we have to do the math for you and say, oh, each one gives 3? We said that they're bonus akosa ba'emza. We already said it's going to be in the middle. So he tells us in the shum de lo nitvay lo lemeimar vav lechol echad. One might have been mistaken and said vav means vav for each, and you're going to end up with a wall of 12. Okay. Vim toimar. Amay yisduch lemisnei midaskvil. Because this came in agol kemenag medina kemoshen agol kenya. So the same question that we addressed before, which is that if in the end the Mishnah is going to say that everything is done according to the minag medina. That everything is done according to the Minhag HaMedina. Why do I have to list any materials? V'yesh Lomar, says Tosfos, Dimnagu Yoser Mivav Begvil. What if the Minhag is to build very wide, strong walls in this particular locale? And if you're using Gvil, they use 10 Tvachim, they don't use 6 Tvachim. Now I'm forcing you to build a wall, and it says Akokim Minhag HaMedina, so I want you to give 5 Tvachim. I don't want you to give 3 Tvachim. Lo Yaseh. You don't have to do it. You don't have to do it. It's a waste of money. V'chein kulam, ela keshira meforash. Again, Chazal's measurements of materials and widths and all of their calculations, again, this relates a little bit to the Gemara on the bottom of Daf Gimel, where the Gemara was figuring out the ratios in terms of the height and the width. And if you go a little bit taller, can that support the wall with the amatraxin? So the calculations of Chazal took into account the engineering and took into account the structure. So if Chazal determined that this is enough, and again, the only reason you could force is because of the Takanas Chazal, then you can't force more than the shear that Chazal gave. That was meant to say that there are certain leniencies in terms of if you want to do less, then the Minhag HaMedina is to do less. And they're only going to rely on such a strong wall, which might be a little bit weaker than the wall of Chazal, that you are permitted to do that. The thing, however, im nagulav, so it's pachos mivav yaser. So greater than, that's what I just said right now, right? But if the minhag is to do less than 6, the same materials, you are allowed to force that. Dafilum nagu b'hutza v'dafne yaser. Because again, Hakol Kamin Gamadina allows you to go lower. However, it's what I was going to say, but not less than Hutzav Adafna. V'im Tomar, Umay Boy B'Gemara Hakol Kamin Gamadina La Suyei Mai. What does the Gemara mean when the Gemara says Hakol Kamin Gamadina? What is that coming to include? Umashani. And it says, this is the Gemara that we saw in Dafdali, La Suyei Asad and Higa B'Hutzav Adafna. That it's coming to include a place where the minhag was to use reeds. Why do you say hutzav adafta? You say, whatever the minhag in that place is, that's what we're going to do. That is the low. There is a lower threshold. You cannot go below that. That is hutzav adafta. So again, according to Tosfos, the shear of vav tvachim, right, is the maximum. And hutzav adafna is the minimum. The hakol kaminhag hamedina is only for the middle here. It's for this space over here. So if the minhag is to build gvil less than 6 tvachim, as long as it's, or any other material, it's all fine. But you can't build a weaker wall than hutzav adafta. If the minhag hamedina is to build something above this, then this one's not a minhag hamedina. So the minhag hamedina is a kula up until hutzav adafta. Lower than hutzav adafta is not going to be allowed, and Tosfos says, it's a minhag of fools. Umochiach mikane proves from this that a kol minhag medina does not mean that in this particular place they choose to do something which is completely crazy. That does not necessarily mean that's what you have to follow. A kol minhag medina can still have a standard to it. And that's what Tosfos says over here. Yeah.
Where do we learn the minimum of hutzav adafna?
From the Gemara and Abdallah. When the Gemara and Abdallah asks, what's Hakol coming to include? And the Gemara says hutzav adafna, why is it done as hutzav adafna? If you were allowed to do even lower, as long as it's the minhag ha-medina, then that's what we should. That's what it should say. Tosfos says the fact that it says it's coming from the roots of adafna must mean that I would have thought not roots of adafna, right? Why? Because it's inferior, but it is included. But why does it specifically say that? Is because that is the lowest amount. Why would that be? Why would that be? So that was what we suggested. That was what we suggested, was that maybe the Takanas Chazal was not just about stopping it in the moment, but the Takanas Chazal was to make sure that you stop it in a way that it's not going to immediately come back. Anything lower than the Hutz of Adapta is going to come back too soon. That either one of two possibilities. Either you're going to be wasting your money, and we don't want people wasting their money, because you're just going to have to build it up again. Or, if the purpose of the wall is for Hezek Re'iyah, then maybe the Takana is not just that there shouldn't be any Hezek Re'iyah right now, but it is to put up a wall that prevents Hezek Re'iyah. Prevents Hezek Re'iyah doesn't mean just in the moment, but it means in the longer term. And even if you put it up right now, and it's up right now, you haven't taken care of Hezek Re'iyah because it's going to come back again. It's going to fall down. It's going to fall down again. Well, the Rush argues on Rabbeinu Tam. Right? This is... this is Rabbeinu Tam. That, right, Minhag HaMedina cannot force above six and does not allow for below Hutz of Adafna.
Is there a difference between Rabbeinu Tam and Tosfos?
No. But Rabbeinu Tam happens to be the Baal Tosfos that was talking. Right? Rabbeinu Tam. So, the Rush says that any Minhag to do less then what the Mishnah says is a minhag tov, so it should not be followed. So the Rush is more machmir. Right? He does not allow it to go down to... Hutz of Adafna. Why? Right, because again, Chazal did not randomly pick the shiurim. Rather, they represent the width that is necessary for the wall to remain standing as a proper wall. Right? According to the Akol Kaminag Medina, right? I'm sorry, and the Akol Kaminag Medina speaks to the materials, not to the width of the wall. What does Rabbeinu Tam, what does the Rush do with the Gemara Hutz of Adafna? I don't know. What does he have there, right? How does he read? What does the Rush say? Hutz of Adafna would be permitted, but you would need to do the same, you would need to do a thicker width of it. I guess much harder to read, right? He's saying, the Rush is suggesting that when we say Akol Kamenei Gondin, that's referring to the materials, not to the thickness, right? Everything that we're talking about over here is thickness, not height. That's clear. I guess I should have drawn it sideways instead of. But, right? I was thinking about it at the time. But in terms of height, that's determined by Chazal. We're going to have it later on. That's Dalet Amos. And we have Raya's later on, right? When the wall falls down, in terms of what you have to put back up, it could be only after the Mishnah says later on, you only have to put back up until Dalet Amos. Why? Because that's what's necessary for Zakanas Chachamim. So again, according to Tosfos, both the material and the width are up first, so Minhag HaMedina. You don't have to make it thicker than the Vav Tvachim, and it can't be thinner than the Hutz of Adafna. But they go hand in hand. According to the Rush, it's just about the material, but the thickness is what's determined by the Mishnah. So you can never make a wall that is narrower than the smallest shear in the Mishnah. I guess it would be, what was it, 1.5? It's 3 tefachim. Right, 1.5, 1.5.
So what's Daftal talking about?
What's what?
Daftal talking about, according to the Rush?
The material. I mean, even though it doesn't say that you're allowed to use Hutzah V'dafna as a material in the Mishnah, the Rush says that Hutzah V'dafna would be okay as a material. But you can't make it... I don't know how many, but yes. If you still hit the thickness of the Mishnah. Meaning that somehow we understood that the thickness was necessary and does not coordinate exactly with the material. It's a little bit of a hard in between.
How can you say you can use a different material if you have, it has to be the length, the width of a different of a material that's not that one?
Because again,
they don't correspond with each other.
Right.
So why would that make any sense to say one word?
Well, it doesn't correspond exactly, but I guess what he's saying is that, you know, there needs to be if there's not a minimum thickness to the wall's not standing. You know, if you have a paper thin wall, then it's gonna fall down. You know, it almost doesn't matter what you're making it out of. So if you're using a lesser material, don't think, okay, but the reeds themselves are very thin. Just think about it. If you took I don't know exactly the lulavim, right? You make the wall out of lulavim, you have one strip of lulavim versus, you know.
But hudrodafna is exactly that material, so you probably need more than the minimum.
You might. But again, the Mishnah didn't go into those details. So you're saying there's a minimum amount. Yeah. It's not going to, again, it is hard in that sense that you would assume that the shiurim corresponds to that, what the width that's necessary for those materials.
You would think you need a corresponding amount of like strength of it, and right. Hudrodafna with 3 would seem
right.
Not be
that's probably what Rabbeinu Tam is going to say. That doesn't make any sense to distinguish between the material and the material and the width. What's bothering the Rush that compels him to say like this? I'm not sure. Why did the Rush feel compelled to learn this way? And not like Tosos. This kash is what's bothering him, right? He doesn't think that there's a reason that you have to have the shear. Once you have the material, why do you have the shear written in the? I'm sorry. Once you have the materials and hakol kamina gamadina. Why do you have to have the shear? Why do you have to have the shear? So he's assuming that the shear must be that it's etched in stone, that there's no way out of it. What's that called? Kamina Gamadina, that's only going on the materials. Yeah, you end up with a little bit of a strange in between, but that seems to be the way the Rush is learning.
How do you quantify the materials? What is it left? If it's not the least.
I don't know. You would have to know. You would have to know the strength of the materials, I guess. I don't know. You try to use a paper. Paper is not so thick. I'm not sure. I'm not sure practically how to do it. Okay. So we say lefichach imnafa hakosa b'amokum v'avonim shoshneim. Right. Therefore, if the wall falls down, the materials. And where the land is upon, right, everything gets split evenly. What's the chiddush? Right, if they split it upon putting it up, of course they're going to split it after it falls. So Rashi says, right, that it's since at the outset the Chacham required them to split it, as for the Mishnah, if it falls after many years, one of them cannot claim, oh, I originally only built it on my property, or that I exclusively paid for the stones. Rashi adds, based on the Gemara later on in Daf Daled, right? Even if it falls into one of their sides and it sits there for a while, still does not become his. Okay, the details of Tosfos we just saw yesterday, so I don't think we need to go over that right now. But if you want to chazer over that, feel free. But that based on the Gemara on Daf Daled. Good, weiter. Says the Mishnah. Similarly, in a gina, Malkam shenagu ligdor, if it's a place where the minhag is to make a fence, mechayven osa, then you're obligated to do it. Aval bebika, but in a wheat field, malkam shenagu shelo ligdor, if the minhag is not to do it, ein mechayven osa. You don't obligate him. Ella, rather, imratza, if he wants kones, so shelo, he goes into his own property, ubayna, and he builds it, veose chazis mibachutz, and he makes a chazis, some sort of simen on the outside. Again, we have not yet seen the Gemara that goes through the chazis details. Lefichach, and therefore, right? If he has a chazis there and it falls down, then obviously it belongs to him, and it belongs, and if it falls down, if they both decided to build it, so you build a wall in the middle, and you make the chazis on both sides. And then it falls down, belongs to both of them. Why? Why, if they both do it, you can't just make no chazis instead of making double chazis? That the Gemara is going, again, we didn't see that Gemara yet either, that the Gemara is going to address later on. Oh. Now, the Chora, both lines of this Mishnah, both the Gina and the Bikka are saying the same thing. Right? The Gina, we said, if the Minog is to make it, you have to do it. In the Bikka, if the minhag is not to do it, then you don't have to do it. So aren't both of them saying that if the minhag is to do it, you do it, and if you infer the opposite, if the minhag is not to do it, then you don't do it. So what is this? What is the distinction over here between the Gina and the Bikka? So it seems to me that the difference is what happens if you have a place that does not have a defined minhag. If it does not have a defined minhag. It sounds like in a gina, you can only be mechayev if there is a specific minhag, a positive minhag, to build it. But if there's no minhag, then you don't. You can't. Stam not. While in a bikka, you're only absolved from building the wall if you're in a place that specifically has a minhag not to build one. But bistam, you would be obligated. Meaning, l'chayra, what do you see? L'chayra, you see that there is more of a reason to necessitate a wall in a bikka than in a gina, right? How do you see that? Because if this diuk is correct, then if there is no minhag, then in a bikka you would be able to push for a wall, obligate for a wall, and in a gina you would not. Yes.
How is the opposite?
You thought it was the opposite. In what sense?
Like, you know, there's more about Ein Hara than
you know. You're a lamdan. I'm just reading Mishnah right now. Do you agree that this is what comes out of the Mishnah?
Yeah.
You know too much. Okay, we'll have to deal with it. Right? I'm just a simple Jew. You read the Mishnah, the Chor, that's what you see, right? Because otherwise there's no difference in the lines. If you don't say that the chiluk between Gina and Bikka is what you do if there is no minhag, then there's no pshat. So we're stuck. Okay, we'll deal with your alumnus soon. Good? Fine. The MS is that we don't know enough about Gina and Bikka. No, we didn't see that. We didn't see the Gemara yet on Daf Dalet about Gina and Bikka. That's the next Gemara. That's right where we left off. So there's more that we have to see. You probably went ahead, so you know more what says over there. There's no need to swear, but you. I know what you're talking about. I'm just giving you a hard time. Okay, we'll get back to it. I think what you're referencing is the Gemara on Bezim and Bez. Is that possible?
Maybe.
Okay, the Gemara there talks about the Gina and the Hezekriya uniquely in a Gina.
Yeah.
There's also a Tosfos on the bottom over here, bottom over there. Yeah. Don't worry. You're good. Here we go. Oh, why the Chazis should be on the outside, not on the inside? That's going to be addressed by the Gemara as well. And then the Mishnah concludes, right, if they both want to build the wall, that they should do so in the Emsa, and they should make Chazis outside. Fine. Good. What else? Fine. Let's see the Gemara. Anything else on the Mishnah? Any questions, concerns, comments? We're good? We know it all. Weiter. Says the Gemara, Savrua, they thought to say, my mechitza. What is a mechitza? Guda. What's a guda? Says Rashi, a kaisel. It's a wall. Why would we think that a guda is a wall? Kedisanya, like we learn in the Tosefta in Kilayim, mechitza sakerem shenifritza. If you have a mechitza in a vineyard that breaks, Omer lo gedor, you tell him to build it, repair it. Chazar v'nifritza, if it happens again, Omer lo gedor, you tell him to build it again. Yisya'i shemen v'lo gadra, if he gives up, he's not building anymore, harez kidesh, it becomes usher, right? Kidesh does not mean holy, as we'll see. It becomes usher because of kilayim. V'chayiv v'achra yusa, and you're chayiv to pay. Oh. Now, again, one point. In terms of the savrua over here, so Tosfos points out that usually savrua means that something is a hava mina. Here, it's actually going to be a maskana, as we all know. Right, that there are two lashonos that hold up in the end of the Gemara, and one of them does assume that mechitza is a guda. Tosfos says that it's justified to still use the language of surah because the question the Gemara raises here are not refuted, which means we have open questions, which is why we're able to have two lashonos in the Gemara. Oh. So why was it assumed that a mechitza means a wall? So the Torah tells us, right, that there is an issur of kilayim. Kilayim we spoke about, again here we went on a little bit of a tangent regarding kilayim, a little bit, not too much, right? A little bit of a tangent regarding kilayim, that there are different types of kilayim, comes in different forms. This particular form is the mixing of wheat and grapes that grow together. Not grafting. You're not attempting to make a a combination of grapes and wheat. We're not trying to do that. Oh. Well, how do we know all that? Torah says, well, Sizra karmecha kilayim, should not plant your kerem as kilayim, pen tukdash hamaya azera asher tizarot vasakarim, because it's all going to become, again, holy is the wrong word, but kadosher means aser. Right? The Gemara in Kiddushin and Daf and Vav and Beis understands that if they grow together, it becomes aser behana'a. One of the forms of hana is obviously Isser Achila, but it's more chumra than Isser Achila. It's also an Isser to benefit from it. What must be done in order to prevent the violation of the Isser? If you want to grow both, I'm a farmer and I want to make sure that I have both wheat and grapes growing, you either have to keep them 4 amos apart, or you must build a mechitza. Ah! So the mechitza is the proof text for the Gemara to understand our Mishnah's mechitza. Right, so the Gemara brings this Tosefta, and the question is, Mechitza, Zakarim, Chenifritza, who tells who to fix the fence? Right, there's a conversation that's going on involving many pronouns, but who is telling who to build the fence? Zakta Rashi. Says Rashi, Omer lo, lib ba'al ha-kerem. The ba'al ha-tvua, the one who has the wheat, tells the one who has the kerem, Gidorata, you build the fence. Shelo yosru gifonechas tvuas asoda mishum kilayim. So that your grapes should not aser my field. The vine is going to spread out and it's going to aser. That, again, we pointed out, that's probably, where does Rashi know that? Well, it's probably meduyuk. It refers to the mechitza as the mechitzas hakerem. It doesn't refer to it as the mechitzas hasadeh, habika, whatever, tua. It's the mechitza of the kerem. Right? Why are we concerned that it's going to become aser? Why is it the responsibility of the bala kerem to replace it? Because yours are going to move. And it's going to become aser. If he's just samach bala hasadeh, zrov samach together. Could this not be very exchange? You get there being tied to some of the gather becomes a Esalino sub, visit some of the gather is wrong. Mikan. Oh, so what happens? If I am your neighbor, and there is a fence up, and we have Kerem on this side, and we have Tvua on this side, and I'm coming to plant the tefillah after this is the fence is there, I am allowed to plant up until the wall. I don't need to leave 4 amos in between. If the wall fell down and it was 4 amos in between, then we wouldn't have a problem. That is the requisite shear that there needs to be. Why was there not a shear here? Because the wall was up. And the Mishnah says later on in the second paragraph that if the wall is up, I'm allowed to be still there. I'm allowed to put it as close as possible. Now that it falls down, the Bala Tua says to the Bala Kerem, my Tua grows up. Up. Your Kerem grows everywhere. Your Kerem is going to spread into my Tua and it's going to usher it. So you have the responsibility. You have the responsibility to build the fence. Why? Why? Why, according to Rashi, is the chiyuv on the Bala Kerem? Luch Oira, it seems that it's because he is considered to be the active damager. I'm passive, my wheat is just standing where it is. I'm not doing anything. Your grapes, your vines are coming into my field, and thereby they're going to aser my tefua. And I had the right to put my tefua there because there was a wall, so I'm allowed to be somit mikan. How does Rashi know that the chiyuv is on the damager? Right, that seems to be the pshat. Rashi is saying because you are the damager, you're coming into my zone. You're the one who's encroaching. Then you are the damager. Who says that he is the mazik? Well, obviously he is. He's the one coming. No. What's the alternative? Maybe we should say, if I know that I'm planting near a vineyard, there is a chance that the wall will fall down. So right now I'm trying to chaperein, and I want to be able to plant another few amos, so I'm going to do it up to the fence. But it comes with a risk. Like any other investment, it comes with a risk. And the risk is that maybe the wall is going to fall down, and then I'm going to be too close to the kerem, and the nature of a kerem is that it's going to spread. Why do I not have to take any personal responsibility for my decision to plant the tevuah right up against the fence? Why not? Oh. So says the Ramban, it seems to support the Svar of Rashi, as he writes very clearly. I'm sorry, the Ramban writes that the reason is Sheba l'tchumo shel chavero, ve'ein chavero nichnas b'tchumo. It seems to be similar to Rashi, that we define the damage here as who is going into the other person's area. And here, the Bala Kerem is Bo l'tchumo shel chavero, he's going over the boundary of his friend. And it's not the opposite. The vineyard is invading the space of the tefua. And the Meiri says similarly. What's the problem? The problem is that it's not so simple. Why is it not so simple? Because the theme of the second perek is harchakas nezikin. Harchakas nezikin. The distancing of damagers. Different situations amongst neighbors. And what do I do? What do I do? And what do I do in my own property if it's going to cause damage to something in your property? Do we say, it's my property, I can do in my Dalet Amos whatever I want. And if it negatively impacts you, tough. Your problem, not my problem. Or do we say, no. Even when I'm doing my own property, I have to take into account other people's feelings. Not my people's feelings, other people's money. And the damage that it's going to cause to somebody else. So there are really different categories of damage that come with different distinctions. Right? The Meiri, at the beginning of the second perek, creates a few different primary scenarios. Right? One situation of damage, that I do something in my own property that will immediately cause damage in yours. Immediately. The second, I can do something in my own property that causes damage to not just my neighbor, but to the whole city. I'm going to pollute the whole place. They're going to stink it up because of whatever it is that my particular industry is. The third, I do something in my own property that will cause damage to my neighbor at some point in the future. And then there's a passive damage to my friend. passage damage. What do all these categories do for us? So the Mishnah Daf Chafeim Beis. The Mishnah Chafeim Beis says that you cannot plant a tree near your neighbor's bore, near his pit, his reservoir, his cistern, whatever it is, right near his pit. Why? Because we're afraid that the roots are going to spread, and then they're going to weaken the walls of the bore, of this pit. And Reb Yossi argues in the second parak, and Reb Yossi says, Afa pi shabor kodemes lo ilan. Lo yikots. Even if the bore was there first, and then I came, again in my property, and I planted a tree, and now it's going to damage your bore, I don't have to cut it down. Each one was entitled to use his property in the way that he saw fit. And if I wanted to build a bore on my property, I have that right. And if you wanted to build to plant a tree in your property, you have that right. The two don't get along. Such is life. Such is life. Perhaps the most famous case of Archakas Nezikin in the second parak is the case of Chardal. The case of Chardal. The good old mustard seeds. What does mustard have to do with anything? So the Mishnah Dachafei lists off several Harchakos that he made. And the Mishnah says, Marchikin es Chardal min hadevarim. You have to distance the mustard from the bees. Rav Yossi matir b'chardal. Rav Yossi says you do not have to. Vas epis. What are we talking about? What's the issue? What's the topic? So Rashi on daf yud ches amud aleph tells us that if the bees eat the chardal, it's mechadet es piyam v'ocheles es nevash elohim. The bees eat the mustard seeds because that's the nature of the bee. Right? The bee flies around, looks for the pollen, and sucks the nectar and chops some of the pollen and cross-pollinates, and all good bee things happen. Right? The bee is going to eat the mustard, the pollen, seeds, etc., nectar. And what happens? It leaves a sharp taste in its mouth, and in order to alleviate it, the bee eats its own honey and destroys its honey. Which is a damage, right? If you have your bees and you're looking to market your honey, so the fact that the bees are going to come back and now they're going to eat the honey is problematic. So what's the damager? The chardal. The mustard. So the mustard is considered to be the mazik. You cannot be much more stationary than mustard. Right? The mustard's not going anywhere. It's not, you know, it's not in a bottle. The mustard is I don't know what mustard is, but it's growing from the ground, I presume. Right? And yet it's the mazik. Now again, interestingly, we pointed out, I think, that the Rambam and the Perush HaMishnah learns slightly differently. The mustard is still the mazik, but he understands that after eating the mustard, it's going to leave a bad taste in the honey. Right? We spoke a little bit about how the process of honey works with the bee and the proboscis and the honey sac and the enzymes, and it's regurgitating and it comes back in and comes back out the same way. The Gemara Bechiras, we spoke about all that, again, how to make honey. But that's his pshat. Oh, so the Gemara and Yerches uses this idea to figure out what is going on here. What's the machlokas between Reb Yossi and between the Tanakhama? According to the Tanakhama, the person who has the chardal has to distance himself from the bees. But Yossi says no. Who's the mazik? Everybody agrees that the mazik is the bal ha-chardal, is the mustard. So what are they arguing about? So says the Gemara that the machlokes is about who is responsible to avoid nezik. To avoid nezik. Harchakas nezikin. Does the mazik have to make sure not to cause damage? Or is it the responsibility of the one who suffered the damage to remove himself from the situation? Don't sit by and be a victim. Stand up for yourself. And move away. Which one is it? Which one is it? Go. So in this case, according to the Chachamim, the one with the mustard is responsible to avoid damaging the bees. Aye! It's the bees that are flying around. It doesn't matter, because the mustard is the damager. And again, right? It's ironic, because we probably always think of a bee as a damager, and here the bee is the victim. But Rabbi Yossi argues, and Rabbi Yossi says that the Baal HaDevorim must move away in order to avoid being damaged. What's the svara? What's the svara for Rabbi Yossi? Shouldn't it be obvious that I can't do something that will damage my neighbor? Shouldn't that be obvious? The svara pshuta. And that's what the Chachamim say. So why would Rabbi Yossi argue? It seems that Rabbi Yossi is moder, and that's the Gemara says over there, when it is giri delay. Giri delay, his arrow. What does that mean, and what does that tell us about Shitas Rabbi Yossi? Okay, so if you would take Rabbi Yossi to the extreme, what would emerge? What would you say about shooting a bullet in your own property and at somebody in your other property, or breaking somebody's window in the other property? Would Rabbi Yossi say, "Achanizak leharchik es atzmo"? You shouldn't have been there. You shouldn't have been standing there. So the Gemara says no. Rabbi Yossi says no. In such a case, when it is...
Maybe you shouldn't put the computer?
No. I mean, maybe. I didn't call about it.
You didn't call?
No. But there was a person here... Was it yesterday? Yesterday, working on the computer. If it's a case of direct damage, then even if Yossi is going to agree that the responsibility is on the mazik. So I can't shoot an arrow at my property at you and say you should have moved out of the way. I am liable for that. Oh. In such a case, direct damage, it's called the achrayus the mazik. That's giri delay. So now we understand. So long as it does not create direct damage to your neighbor, you are entitled, the basic rule is you are entitled to do what you want in your own property. As long as it is not directly going to damage somebody else. If it does not directly damage or impact somebody else, right? Why? Because he could move. If it's direct, then there's nothing he could do to protect himself. But if you give him the possibility of protecting himself, because it's the damage that takes place, it's the tree which is going to spread out into the bore over time, so he can figure it out, he can do something. But if it's going to be direct, then I can't do what I want in my property. But otherwise, you have a responsibility to move out of the way. And the Chachamim war, you assume that although you have the right to do what you want in your own property, there is a limitation in your own ownership when it comes to your conduct in your property vis-a-vis your friend. That when it comes to impacting your neighbor, you do not have the right to do whatever you want, even the Achar Zman, even after. That's the Chachamim. Oh, let's just finish this piece up. What's the conclusion of the Gemara? How do we pass him? Like Rabbi Yossi. Says the Gemara, hey, we pass him like Rabbi Yossi. Oh, with that backdrop, the kasha is, why does Rashi say that the Baal HaKerem has to build the fence because his vines are going to spread into the Tevua? We pass him like Rabbi Yossi. So the fact that we were thinking until now, the vines are the mazik because they are the ones who are going out. Rabbi Yossi doesn't care about that. So if the Baal HaKerem is the mazik, and we pass in like Rabbi Yossi, then the achrayus to build a wall should be on the Baal HaTvua. So Tosfos over here explains... Tosos over here explains that really this is a case of giri delay. Ah. And if it's giri delay, then Rabbi Yossi is going to Yimoda. Now Tosos himself, notwithstanding this, Tosos does not think that the Baal HaKerem has to build because of Nezek. He thinks it's Din of Avodas HaKerem. What is Din of Avodas HaKerem? It's a different halacha about leaving space for the plows to be able to for the plows to be able to maneuver, right? In order to work the field or vineyard, You need farming equipment. Chazal understood that in order to properly work the vineyard, you needed a space of Dalet Amos that surrounds the Kerem. And therefore, the reason if this is Dalet Amos is not really halach and kilayim, it's really to make sure that the work can be done. And if I'm working and you're too close, then I'm going to damage because I'm going to run over your things, which is a direct damage. A direct damage, obviously, is the fault of the mazik. Is the fault of the mazik. Now, if we pass like Rav Yossi, then the nizak has this one. So, why did the Baal Soda tell the Baal Kerem must build, right? The Giri delay. Oh, so what's the Giri delay? Right? We tried to answer for Rashi that it's Giri delay. That's what Tosos is suggesting. Right? So, how is a Giri delay? Do the vines grow in an instant? It's not like shooting a gun, it's not like shooting an arrow. It takes time. So again, if you learn that it's a Avodas HaKerem, then you understand. The plow does do it immediately. But if you don't learn that way, then l'chora, it is a little bit difficult. The Tosfos Rid explains that according to Rashi, it's Giri Dilei Kilayim, because the process of the Isser begins. Right? As soon as you have this Taroves, you're already in the situation of the Isser. It doesn't actually Aser it until it grows. Okay. But again, you've immediately created the situation of the Isser, and that is why it is problematic. Yes.
But isn't that not the case with climate, since it has to grow 200? So it's not immediate for the first 100.
Right. So that's what the Tosfos Rida wants to suggest, is that the Isser isn't immediate, but the damage is really the mixing together. The situation. The situation happens right away. Okay, let's stop here. Whew, that was a lot. We'll stop here. Mirtz Hashem will